Now, more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Wednesday. It is hot. It's 86 right now and humid. Great to have you here on 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin. Tonight, we will have Sheriff Scott Rigglesworth here on WILS. Ingham County Sheriff. He'll tell us why he's changed his policy dealing with inmates wanted by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency and why he will not be holding them for an extended amount of time, as the agency is asking. Also, the author of the book One Nation Under Gold will be here. He'll tell us why we've been obsessed with gold as a country since our founding. But let's begin with Iran. Iran actually at the top of the list of a new report issued today by the Trump administration. The report titled Country Reports on Terrorism, and Iran is number one. Why are we then recertifying the nuclear deal with Iran? Let's ask Dr. Herb London, president of the London Center for Policy Research and author of many books, including Leading from Behind, The Obama Doctrine and the U.S. Retreat from International Affairs. Dr. London, great to have you on WILS.
Well, pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, so Iran is number one. How do they get that distinction for terrorism every year?
Well, there's no question about Iran as the leading state sponsor of terrorism around the globe. As far as the agreement is concerned, I think the Trump administration is making a terrible mistake. It should not reaffirm an agreement that was achieved between the Obama administration and the Iranians.
Yeah.
Obama gave the Iranians everything they wanted, including lifting the sanctions, with the virtual guarantee that they will have nuclear weapons at some point. Whether it's 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, they will have nuclear weapons.
But
it seems to me that the only justification for it is that the Trump people keep talking about more teeth in the monitoring of the activities that are going on in Iran. Whether that's possible or not remains to be seen.
Right.
Further verification, of course, and the belief that in the end, since the Iranians never signed the agreement, and in a sense, we never signed the agreement because it was a up and down vote in the Senate, when in fact it should have been regarded as a treaty, that it will die of its own weight. That it will have no significance in the future.
How does it die of its own weight?
It dies of its own weight because in time, no one really cares about it. If the Iranians develop nuclear weapons in 5 years or 10 years, people will say it was a terrible mistake. But that's a long way into the future.
Now,
in the short term, it would appear as if the United States is not going to be in the position of forcing the Iranian hand. And again, I disagree with the policy.
Yeah, here's what I want to understand. You say we can't, Dr. Herb London here, by the way, on WILS. Well, what do you mean? Why can't we force this issue? Because from the reports are that President Trump wanted to call the whole thing off, and he, after an hour of going back and forth with his advisors, he decided to recertify. What happens if we just say, look, the deal is done, is dead?
Well, again, nothing, because the Iranians will continue to pursue the matter as they have in the past.
Okay.
Look, they violated at least the spirit of the agreement, if not the I's, dotting the I's and crossing the T's in the agreement.
Okay,
they have violated it because one very obvious development is, of course, the extraordinary technical involvement of ICBMs in Farkin, the area that is not included in the agreement at all.
Okay, now, I'm confused here. If we recertify the agreement, that means we are saying that they are holding up their end. Is that correct?
Well, in a sense, we are saying that. That's correct.
Okay.
Notwithstanding the violations that have occurred, as I started to say, if you look at Farkin, they are developing ICBMs at Farkin. They argue they need their missiles for defense purposes. But why would someone need an ICBM for defense purposes? If the ICBM travels 10,000 kilometers, why is that it doesn't make any sense that would be regarded as a defensive weapon.
Okay, and we're sanctioning them for that, are we not?
We are sanctioning them for that, but again, the sanctions are meaningless. Because when the P5+1 signed the agreement with Iran, the sanctions were lifted.
Okay.
You have countries that are now dealing directly with Iran in a variety of commercial activities, including, most significantly, the Germans. But we're doing so as well. Look at the Boeing deal. Of course, it hasn't been approved by our Senate, but the Boeing deal obviously may go through at some point.
Okay.
And that's the sale of a number of rather advanced aircraft, so-called commercial aircraft, will be used for military purposes as well.
That would not be happening, though, if we did not recertify the agreement. Is that correct?
Well, that could happen anyway. But yes, I think that it probably would not have happened, but could have happened.
Okay,
yes.
Is there a business interest involved in the decision to keep recertifying at this point? Or?
I think that's a factor. I think that it probably cannot be overlooked as a factor. And I think what has to be considered here is that the language that's written is written in a kind of subjunctive tense. These are things that could happen, that might happen, not that they should happen. Mm-hmm. So that when you read this agreement, the 159 pages, it is very obvious. It's written in a language that is very ambiguous. Okay. And I'm told, even though I don't read Arabic, it's even more ambiguous than Arabic.
Okay, but are we somehow checking their facilities? I mean, how are we even confirming that they're...
Well, it's the IAEA that presumably is going through the monitoring of their activities, including the heavy water plant, including all of the nuclear facilities that they have.
We're taking their word for it, essentially?
That's what we're doing. We're taking their word for it. And there are times when they're not even permitted in areas where there's suspicion that there's further developments going on.
Mm-hmm. And we recertify, what, is it annually, or how often does this happen, do you know?
Well, I think it will happen annually, and now it's likely to happen annually, which may not be so bad, because maybe in a year's time, the Trump administration will come to its senses and say, this doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so then we stop recertifying. At that point, what, that allows us to slap on some heavier sanctions? Is that it?
Well, I think, again, slapping on sanctions at this point becomes very difficult, because there are so many nations engaged in commercial activities with Iran. Becomes very, very difficult indeed.
So where are we heading then with Iran, if that's not going
to... It's largely symbolic. All we can say is, we're not happy. The United States is not going to clearly go along with this. Mm-hmm. And if necessary, we will use other methods, including the freezing of all your assets on the world stage.
Mm-hmm. Are you a supporter of any kind of military action against Iran if we really think they're moving fast towards
nuclear? Well, that's the last and the worst option. I know I certainly would not rule it out, depending, of course, on how provocative the Iranians are. Mm-hmm. But I would not rule it out.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they really fear that from us, or do they?
Oh, I think they fear it indeed. They certainly do fear it. But there's no question that they are making whatever preparations are necessary in order to deal with that question, including the purchase of the S-300 anti-missile system that the Russians have provided.
We talked to a former Iranian on this show during this week, actually, and he said that, look, the thing with Iran is if we topple the imams there, it could very well turn into another Syria, you know, with massive civil war, you know, millions of refugees. Do you think that could end up happening?
No, I do not. I mean, Syria was never really a country. It was created artificially through Sykes-Picot. I mean, through the arrangement of the British and French Foreign Office in 1916. The Iranians have a history. It's Persia. Persia has a long history, a couple of thousand years. So we're talking about a very different kind of entity. I don't think that it would come apart at the seams, but there are a lot of minority groups within India, within Iran, would like to see it come apart. I mean, look, the Kurds have their own agenda, and they're 22% of Iran is made up of the Kurds. You've got Baluchistans, you've got a lot of different people within Iran at the moment. Mm-hmm. Those minorities obviously could play a role in a very different kind of Iran, one that is maybe more of a federation than a state.
Yeah. And how likely is it that in the foreseeable future we could see any major shift in power in Iran?
Again, you know, for years people have been talking about regime change. And it's very nice to talk about it, but it hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm not convinced that it will. In 2009, there was an interesting opportunity on the part of the Obama administration to challenge what was going on in Iran. We did not do so. That was a mistake. And I think that the Obama people did not recognize the extent to which there was widespread dissatisfaction with the imams at that time.
Right. Well, the President Obama, his belief was what? That we could somehow peacefully coexist with Iran, right?
Well, he talked about coexistence. He also believed that the Iranians in time would be a rather sensible nation, joining the community of nations around the globe and acting in a responsible fashion. That was his belief. It was this kind of naive Marxist view that the dialectic of history is moving in a certain direction. History is deterministic. And ultimately, we'll find ourselves in a position where there'll be worldwide stability. Mm. It was based on this assumption that we can lead from behind. It was not necessary for the United States to do anything because the forces of history are already moving in a certain direction.
Right.
The arc of history is with us.
Right.
So why be engaged in intervention?
Yeah. Well, it seems like other than their terrorism, it seems like it might be a little time before we find out if he was right or wrong, right?
That's right.
It's Dr. Herb London, president of the London Center for Policy Research. Check out his latest book, Leading from Behind, The Obama Doctrine and the U.S. Retreat from International Affairs. It's Dr. Herb London right here on WILS. Great to have you, Dr. London.
Always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.